And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We're going to have a very interesting program today. It comes from my research of, well, the last three decades. I wrote a fascinating book, still available, by the way, and I updated it just recently, entitled New Age Cults and Religions. New Age Cults and Religions. It seems that various cults and false religions are springing up all over the world. And I'm constantly reading about one or another new ones. But there's some that are just, well, I call them sort of traditional cults and false religions. In my book, New Age Cults and Religions, I show the difference between true Christianity, what true Christianity teaches, its doctrines, and those of the cults. And sometimes they're remarkably similar. But if you know the true doctrines of Christ, you'll be able to see the vast differences as well. I hope you'll get that book and another book by Dr. Well, he is a doctor. He's a JD, a doctor of law, Dr. Edward Hendry, who's written a book called Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Hope you'll get both of those books. We'll tell you how to get them, how to order them, how to arrange for them to be delivered to you at your home. Of course, you can get them also at various bookstores. If they don't have them on the shelf, they'll order them for you. I think it's important for us to know about Satan's hidden infiltrators. In fact, that's the name of today or tonight's show. Satan's hidden infiltrators. One thing that I discovered in studying these various cults and false religions and secret societies was that virtually every one of them was founded by a Jew or Jews. And I found that very curious. If they weren't founded by a Jew, they were usually founded by, as a minimum, a Freemason. A Freemason. So when you get the Masonic Lodge and the Jews as founders of almost all of the New Age, that is the satanic cults and religions, that tells you a little bit about Judaism and Freemasonry, doesn't it? I found that these Jews that were founding these groups were not only Masons, but they generally were psychopaths. Now, what is a psychopath? Well, it's, to use the vernacular, it's a crazy person. A person who has no empathy really about human beings, but is very narcissistic, self-oriented. Has no conscience, will lie about everything if it's to his advantage. Feels no pangs of sympathy for people who are hurt and so on. That's a psychopath. You know, psychological experts say that some 5% of the population are psychopaths. Now, these people are sometimes called sociopaths. There's not much of a difference between the psychopath and the sociopath. They're not always psychotic in the sense that they're dangerous killers. But I wouldn't want to be around one very long, just in case. Now, it's interesting that it's psychopathic Jews that are lurking behind the world's most wicked and sometimes most dangerous cults, churches, religions, and secret societies. I want to tell you about some of these people today. And, you know, there seems to be a connection behind all of these Jewish-founded or Jewish-led groups. And that connection is a mystical, an occultic system called the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is made up of many books, the Zohar and others. It's a system of magic, of charms, of talismans, of rituals, of colors that are have magic meaning. Of numerology, gematria, some call it. Many of them also are into various stages or facets of astrology. Astrology. Isn't that interesting? They have various beliefs about the planets and the stars and how they can influence our behavior here on earth, even our spiritual destiny, we're told. Well, today I want to mainly talk about Mormonism, which is a Jewish cult, by the way. The Jehovah's Witness, yet another Jewish cult. There's A Course in Miracles. There's Moses Berg's Children of God. There's the Church of Wicca and many other Wicca or witchcraft churches as well. There's the Church of Satan, Theosophy, and many others. Hope we'll get to as many of these as we can. You know, the Church of Satan was founded by Anton LaVey in the very fateful year 1966. Anton Zander LaVey. Now, that's not his real name. Actually, he adopted that name. He thought it would be colorful. Anton Zander LaVey. LaVey started out as a organ player. He played the organ. He was a musician for carnivals and circuses. He was sort of a clown, a musical clown, but he played the organ. And, you know, in some of the various acts and the freak shows and everything, they would have organ music. Some of the strip shows at the various carnivals, the carnies would have organ music as well. And he got famous in San Francisco for playing the organ at these circuses and so forth. And he finally decided that the way he could make a lot of money was to start a church to worship Satan. I think an interesting thing about Anton LaVey was he died, according to the encyclopedia, on the very same day that another famous person, a Jew named Lord Edmund Rothschild died. So Rothschild and LaVey went to see their God, which is Jesus Christ, on the same day. I suspect they were not too thrilled about the outcome, because you see, that was the judgment for each one. And they were sent on to their final destination, which can be spelled out in a four-letter word named hell. There have been many other groups. The Church of Satan got quite a fellowship, and there were many different churches of Satan that sprung out of it. There was the Processian Church, or the Church of the Process. There was Dr. Michael Aquino's Temple of Set, and there were, of course, others. Now, Theosophy is yet another cult. You might call it a church of sorts. That was founded really by a Russian mystic, a Jew named Helena Blavatsky. Blavatsky. Quite an ingenious person, a con woman. She became very famous. She went over to India and lived in a Hindu ashram. One of her followers, Alice Bailey, founded yet another group called the Lucis Trust. L-U-C-I-S, which was a combination of Lucifer and the Egyptian goddess Isis. So they called it Lucis, the Lucis Trust. Miss Bailey, who was a follower of Blavatsky, also founded yet another organization. They're very good at founding satanic cults and organizations. She founded yet another group called World Goodwill. World Goodwill was very big working with the United Nations and even helped set up a meditation room at the United Nations. That meditation room, and you can visit it, and I have done so, has a very strange painting on the wall behind a stone altar. It's a sort of a Pablo Picasso type painting, you know, abstract art. But I sat there and looked at it, and when you look at it very carefully, what it really is composed of, it's composed of 27 triangles. And right in the midst of them looks like a crooked line, you know, weaving back and forth, and that's actually a serpent. a serpent in 27 triangles. And the 27 in numerology, occult numerology, you add the 2 and the 7, and you come up with 9. In the number 9 is concealed the number of the beast, 6 plus 6 plus 6. For 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18, and 1 and 8 equals 9. But there's more to the number 27. There's the false boast that Satan and his Antichrist deserve the number 7, which is supposedly the number of God. So it's 2 times 7. But within the number 27, there is also 3 nines. 3 times 9 equals 27. The unholy trinity, each, which is part of the number 666. So there's all kind of permutations and, you know, just silliness among occult numerologists that you can come to in this colorful mural that sits behind, is on the wall behind the very primitive stone altar. In the meditation room, which itself is laid out in the form of a pyramid without the capstone. The capstone is, of course, to come when the Antichrist arrives on earth. Ah, yes, you always wanted to know what they were doing with your hard-earned money at the United Nations, your tax money, and at least one way they spend it is to build a satanic altar and worship place. So if you're a tourist and you're visiting the United Nations there in New York City and you get tired, you can visit and take your rest in that demon-filled room called the United Nations Meditation Room. That was put together by the worshipers of Theosophy, which, by the way, means theological philosophy, and they shortened it to just Theosophy. Theosophy is, by the way, headquartered in outside of Chicago, Illinois. So I guess they have a neighbor there near Chicago named Barack Obama and his disciple, Rahm Emanuel, who is now the mayor. By the way, there's another occult similar to Theosophy that was founded in New York State in called a Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles. I've had a lot of experience, should I say, in A Course in Miracles because I visited and interviewed a number of devotees, you know, worshipers, you might call them, of A Course in Miracles. They put out a little magazine called the Jesusonian. They believe in Jesus. And on the picture of their Bible, yes, they have a Bible called A Course in Miracles, which they study. The Jesusonian Institute puts out the Jesusonian. I said Jesusonian is Jesusonian. The Jesusonian Institute puts out the Jesusonian magazine, and they publish this A Course in Miracles Bible. Very interesting. They have a picture. It's a, you know, cover. It's a hardcover book. It's a huge Bible, this false Bible. But it has a paperback cover on it with a picture of Jesus. And I think it's interesting that Jesus turns out to be a blonde-haired fellow with blue eyes. I had no idea, but you know, that's no one really knows what Jesus looked like exactly because we didn't have any cameras in those days. So any of you have a painting of Jesus, it's whatever the artist's conception was. Well, this is that artist's conception, and it's a blue-eyed blonde. I don't know if he's an Aryan or what, but that's Jesus, according to the A Course in Miracles. Now, it's interesting that A Course in Miracles would believe in Jesus because it was founded by a Jewish psychologist from the State University of New York. She was big into occultism, and Dr. Helen Schuchman, that's S-C-H-U-C-M-A-N. You read all about her in this cult, by the way, in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. But she says one day that a spirit came to her. She had a vision, and this spirit came to her. And she was asked, asked Dr. Schuchman, who was that spirit or what was it? And let me just quote her. She said, Dr. Schuchman said, quote, "It said it was Jesus." Well, you know, good Christian brothers and sisters, Jesus is not an it. So I think it was not Jesus. What do you think? But that's what Dr. Shuchman, the Jewish psychologist, had to say about it. You know, it's really interesting. One time, it was many years ago, come to think about it, was at least 20 years ago. I was on a TV program in Oklahoma City, in Oklahoma, with a man who was my good friend at the time, or at least I thought he was, Dr. J.R. Church. Dr. Church had written a few books. He was a Baptist pastor, but he had started this independent ministry called Prophecy in the News. And he had invited me to be on his TV program, and we were going to be talking about my new book at that time, New Age Cults and Religions. So he asked me this question. He didn't know anything about my book. He had never seen it before, had not read it yet. It had just come out. I, you know, there were the TV cameras going on, and we were both dressed in suits and sitting, you know, having these nice big back chairs, you know, luxurious chairs. And this TV program was going across America, various different cable channels and such. Dr. Church said to me, he said, Tex Mars, who founded A Course in Miracles and wrote this new Bible? And I explained it was Dr. Helen Shuchman. And I discussed her a little bit and what her work was as a teacher of psychology and all that at a university. And then I said, and of course she was Jewish. And right away, Dr. Church almost fell over in his chair. And he actually, now his programs were taped and were aired later, so he had the opportunity to do this. But Brother J.R., let's just call him J.R. Church, Dr. Church, turned to his cameraman and said, hold on just a minute. Let's stop the camera. Did you say she was Jewish, Tex? I said, well, yes, she was a Jew. He said, oh, let's not tell people that. It might turn people against the Jews. And I said, well, isn't it fair for people to know that she was a Jew? Oh, no, let's not do that. The Jews are our friends. Turned out he was a big Zionist. At one time, Dr. Church and I had a private meeting in his office, and he said to me very mysteriously, he said, Tex, I want to ask you something. He said, you know, I know you're a man of God, and you really believe in prophecy. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, tell me, when do you think Jesus is going to return? Well, I smile, and I said, well, J.R., you know as well as I do, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, but it does say you can know the season. And, you know, I think we all have a feeling of imminency. I don't know when he will return. But I said, there are certain things that will occur before he returns. Well, J.R. didn't agree with me on that. He said, oh, no, he could return tonight while we're sleeping. And I gave him one verse in particular, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, disproving that immediately. And he said to me, well, you know, I was talking to a very well-known rabbi here in Oklahoma City about this subject. And I sat back in my chair and I sort of smiled inwardly. I said, yes. And Dr. Church said, and the rabbi told me ABC. He said, of course, he doesn't believe in our Christ. He believes in a Jewish Messiah other than Jesus. I said, yes, that's true. He said, but the rabbi told me he feels that the Jewish Messiah may come this year. Now, folks, keep in mind, that was 20 years ago, but... So we had a false prophet, a Jew, a rabbi, was advising a Christian minister who was head of a prophetic ministry called Prophecy in the News. And there I was being asked when Jesus was going to come. And I said, well, no man knows the day nor the hour. And J.R. says, well, my rabbi friend has told me he's coming this year. So I looked at J.R. and I said, and so do you believe that's possible based on what the rabbi told you, J.R.? He said, yes, I do. Oh, yes, he's a very wise man. And I smiled, I actually smiled, and I said, J.R., I haven't known you a real long time, but I've known you a couple of years. And you were a pastor for about 20 years of a Baptist church. Therefore, you would know the Bible says the natural man, that is the man born in the flesh, but who has not received the spiritual gift of Jesus Christ in his heart, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. A Jew who does not know Jesus as Lord, I don't care if he's a rabbi or the head of the Sanhedrin, cannot receive the spiritual knowledge of God. And J.R. looked at me and he almost flipped out again. Just like he'd flipped out, back in our interview. He didn't want people to know that it was a Jewish woman who had given us A Course in Miracles, his false Bible. I guess if she had been Ecuadorian or German or Mexican or Canadian, it would have been okay. But he wanted to protect the Jews. I thought that was very fascinating. And then come to find out his advisor is a Jewish rabbi. And he was shocked when I told him that a rabbi wouldn't know diddly. Well, I didn't use the word diddly, but that's true. But sort of the same thing. That's the Texas vernacular. Diddly, right? He didn't know diddly. You see how people can get wrapped up in cults and false teachings? Friends, don't go to a rabbi expecting to get knowledge or wisdom. They won't have it. Jesus told the rabbis, your father is the devil, and you have a man-made religion. And you go out and convert a man, make him your disciple, and he becomes twice the devil that you are. That's what Jesus said. But then again, some people would say Jesus must have been an anti-Semite, wouldn't they? Sure they would. Bless their little devil hearts. Jerry's here, my broadcast engineer. He also takes care, by the way, he's our webmaster, you call him. That doesn't make sense, does it? You can't bless somebody's devil heart. I think I better take that back. They might have a little devil's heart, but you can't bless it, right? No, it won't be blessed. That's true. Now, listen, I'm not saying that a rabbi may not be smart. He could be educated. He can know a lot of things. But he doesn't know the things of God. I know that for a fact. Because the Bible says that. And have you noticed that Jesus chose his 12 disciples and not one of them was a rabbi? What does that tell you, friends? Somebody wrote to me not too long ago and they said, Tex, I just wish I had all the knowledge of a clergyman or a pastor or something. And I wrote him back and said, oh, no, don't wish that. Don't pray for that, because most of them are all apostate nowadays. There's the great falling away that's predicted to come in 2 Thessalonians 2, and I believe it's here now. That's one of the signs of Jesus coming again. But again, although the rabbi knew, I didn't know. But then the rabbi was wrong 20 years ago, wasn't he? And by the way, J.R.'s passed away, and hopefully he's with the Lord regardless of those things. You know, friends, God is he's not tolerant, but he is forgiving and he is merciful. And I sure hope he looks askance. In other words, I hope he's merciful when looking at my errors and my mistakes and my sins. You know, the Bible says if you say you don't have sin, then you really do have a problem. But if you confess your sins, then God is faithful and just and will forgive you of those sins. That's what John says in the Bible, and I believe it. And thank God that he is merciful and will forgive our sins if we confess them. But if you say, I don't have any sin to confess, oh my, you're in big trouble, friends. You're in big, big trouble. I wish I could say that, but of course then I would be a liar. But thank God that he forgives me for my sins. Now, this book, A Course in Miracles, I have a copy of it. Of course, I have a copy of all these false Bibles because I want to show people they really exist. But right here in Austin, Texas, we have a bookstore devoted to this religion. You go in there, there's hundreds and hundreds of books, including the Jesusonian magazine, which I think is interesting. But I wanted to find out who this Jesus was of A Course in Miracles. And by the way, one woman who teaches this is a Hollywood type lady named Marianne Williamson. She's very famous. It's sort of a Robert Shuler, Norman Vincent Peale positive thinking type of preacher. Oprah Winfrey has had her on her show numerous times. And she has a book that's based on A Course in Miracles. So Oprah Winfrey has endorsed this A Course in Miracles, which has a Jesus on the front cover. But I wanted to find out about this Jesus. I found out his brother was Lucifer. The book says, first of all, there is no such thing as sin. Sin is only an illusion. So there really is no sin. So friends, you cannot confess your sins and be forgiven because sin is only an illusion. It's a mirage. That's what their Jesus says. And their Jesus must be a very wise man. I mean, his brother is Lucifer. You know, the Bible says there is another Jesus, another gospel. That's what it says. Read 2 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 11, verse 4. There is another Jesus, another gospel. Wow. In fact, I did a audio tape and a CD one time, a teaching, and the title of it was 1001 and More Jesuses. Now, A Course in Miracles. Now, this Helen Schuchman, Dr. Schuchman, who was Jewish, by the way, I guess J.R. Church would faint again if he were here in our midst. And I said that he was all the time being a Zionist and a protector. Did you know J.R. Church even believed in the Jewish Kabbalah? Thought it was a great, you know, system. My goodness gracious. He got really upset at me because I didn't believe in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I told him, we have a Bible. Well, they might find new stuff and rewrite the Bible. I don't think so, J.R. We have the Bible, and God has preserved it. That's what it says in the Bible. Well, you could be wrong. No, I don't think I am right, J.R. Oh, I have some great arguments with these pastors. Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran. Some of them actually think I'm a heretic. All because I just believe the old standard way. I believe the old-fashioned way. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that believes in the fundamentals of the faith. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a King James man. Whoa! They really, I mean, they go nuts when I tell them that. But it's true. You know, I just believe Jesus is who he said he was. He told the Jews, if you don't believe that I am God, you will die in your sins. He said before Abraham was, I am. I am was the name of God. The Bible says he rose on the third day. The Bible says he was the Son of God. The Bible says it was Jesus who created the world. He was the creator. The Bible says he was with God and was God and was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says if you don't believe he came in the flesh, then you're of the Antichrist. The Jehovah's Witnesses, which is another Jewish cult, by the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the JWs, they say Jesus really wasn't Jesus. Well, he was Jesus, but he was really the archangel Michael. He was just an angel. He was not the Son of God. He was a Son of God. He was an angel, Michael. Really? He didn't really come in the flesh. He was an angel. Sorry, friends, but you're of the Antichrist. That's what the New Testament says. You're listening to Tex Mars. I've got a lot more. I want to talk about the children of God, they call themselves. That group was founded by a Jew named Moses Berg. And he taught girls to go out and win men over by having sex with them. Then there's Bernie Lazar Hoffman. We'll talk about him. He's in prison now after having sex with underage girls. He was a Jew who founded a church that specialized in, well, bashing Catholicism. A lot of people believed in him. He gave them his name as Tony Alamo, or Alamo. But his real name was Hoffman. We'll talk about Hoffman and more when we return. Well, welcome back to the program. Tex Mars, your friend again here. We're talking about hidden infiltrators in the Christian church. And they founded all kinds of denominations and groups and secret societies and cults. They're Jews. But, you know, the Bible says that Jews, the house of Israel, is left desolate until Jesus returns again. That's what it says in Matthew. Think about that. Left desolate. Desolate means of no spiritual value. Now, there are a few Jews, not very many, who have come to Jesus Christ. God bless them. I'm glad for them. But for the most part, they rejected Christ, and even to this day, they despise and hate Christ. And I think because of this despicable behavior and belief system on their part, Jews generally, somehow, Satan gives them a special occult spiritual power to found new groups to deceive people into joining these new satanic cults, churches, denominations, and secret societies. Now, I talk about this in my book, New Age Cults and Religions, 354 pages, and I'd like to give you a copy of that book. Now, for your gift, and by the way, we're not tax deductible now, but for $18, we'll send you that book. It's 354 pages. It exposes, unmasks, over 100 major New Age cults. I mean, everything from the Mayan order to the Muslims. No, I don't think it does Muslims. That's one thing it doesn't cover. That's true, nor the Jews. But it does cover the Mayan order, the Mormon church, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Church of Satan, the Church of Wicca. I mean, it just covers a whole slew of things. Even UFO cults. That's right, UFO cults. There are a lot of them that are Antichrist. And it covers them as well. Ekankar. You can just go on and on. Est. So many different groups. Over 100 major New Age cults and religions. Did you know one of the cults, Finn Horn, actually worshipped a horned devil? Then, of course, there's cultic group that believes in the stars called Unarius. And their leader came in a UFO. Oh, there's so many. Some of them are crazy. Some of them, well, remember the world church started? Herbert Armstrong's group, Worldwide Church of God. I think, yeah, we talk about that as well, that put out Plain Truth magazine. The vestiges of that church still exist today. So anyway, New Age cults and religions for $18. Please add $5 shipping and handling. Now we have another great book by a Christian attorney, Edward Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I, called Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. And it is a shocking book, very, very well researched, a huge book. For $25 plus $5 shipping, we'll send you that book, a total of $30. And the book Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great is the first to reveal the fact that Jews founded Roman Catholicism. Now that is a shocker. Jews founded Roman Catholicism. Boy, they really did want to pollute Christianity, didn't they? And there actually have been Jewish popes. Even in our lifetime. You'll find out about this in the book Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great for a total of $30 by Edward Hendry. Now, both books are available, New Age Cults and Religions and the other one, by calling us toll-free 1-800-234-9673. You can also go online at powerofprophecy.com. or simply textmars.com. And you can write to us and send us a check or a money order or cash. Write to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, if you're led by the Holy Spirit to help this ministry continue its message going around the world through shortwave radio, through our newsletters, through our websites, and many other ways, please do so. Please. We need your help. We need your love gifts, your donations, your offerings. If you don't have a local church, we'll make us your church. We have a worldwide congregation, and we would be delighted to have you join. You know, in addition to Power of Prophecy, I want you to listen also to my a program on streaming audio on BibleHomeChurch.org. BibleHomeChurch.org. Every week we have a 30-minute service, and you can become a member of BibleHomeChurch.org. We definitely need your help. We need your financial gifts, but most of all, we need your prayers that God will continue to bless us. And I think God will bless you if you become a part of this great worldwide mission in the last days. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about hidden infiltrators, Jews lurking in the Christian church and setting up false groups, false denominations, satanic organizations. You know, just recently, a man named Bernard Lazar Hoffman, who really, I think his real name was Marcus Abad, but he finally changed it to Tony Alamo or Tony Alamo. Well, the news back a couple years ago was that Mr. Alamo, or Reverend Alamo, had been arrested. He had a compound in southwestern Arkansas, and as it turns out, well, he enjoyed having sex with little girls. Well, that doesn't work out too well when the cops find out about it, and in fact, one of his former wives, who married Alamo when she was only 15, turned him in to the cops. They also got him for tax evasion. He married underage girls as young as 8 years old and had sex with them. Tony Alamo was born Bernie Hoffman of Jewish parents. He married a Jewish woman named Susan Lipowitz, and then they founded their Tony Alamo Christian Foundation. For a while, he had his syndicated television show, a brand of Tony Alamo sequined denim jackets that he had. A lot of Hollywood celebrities bought Tony Alamo's jackets and so forth. Alamo got a big audience by saying that Armageddon is at hand and that the Pope and the United States government were in a satanic conspiracy. Well, he could have been right in the great part there. Who knows? But anyway, Alamo claimed that he's only put on trial because this Vatican conspiracy was out to get him. Well, Papa Tony, as he told his young teenage brides, ended up in prison where he is today. A lot of people didn't know he was Jewish or that his wife Susan was Jewish. They thought his real name was Alamo and maybe he was Italian or something. Or he was connected somehow to the heroic Alamo down in San Antonio, Texas. Well, we leave our good friend, Tony Alamo, a.k.a. Bernard Lazar Hoffman. We go to the Mormon Church. Now, the Mormons are very interesting, also called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, they were founded, of course, by several men, but the chief man is a man simply known as Joseph Smith. I've read a lot of the writings of Joseph Smith, and it seems that one of his major writings that's still believed in by the Mormon Church today is, it goes this way. This is a Mormon doctrine. Now think about this. Here it goes. As man is, God once was. And as God is, man may become. As man is, God once was. And as God is, man may become. In other words, God was once just a man, but he earned his godhood. And God is God today, but you, a man, can become as God. You can become God. They also believe that Lucifer was the son of God, as is Jesus. And that there was some competition in heaven over who would be the God for planet Earth. Lucifer wanted to be the God, but so did Jesus. So they went to their father. And if I can remember, God, they say in the Mormon faith, does not reside in heaven, but he is God of another planet called Kolub, K-O-L-U-B. You know, the two movie stars, dancers and singers, Donnie and Marie Osmond, actually did an album about all the glory that they will have when they rise. They rise up to the great planet or star called Kolub, where the Father God will be. Well, Jesus, of course, is not God. He's just one of the sons. He's not the same as God. And the Mormons say that there actually are three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but these three are separate, and each one is a separate God. So there are three gods, but really there are many gods. In fact, they say there's thousands and thousands of thousands of gods, because all the stars in the sky, each one is going to eventually have a God over it. And you, dear friends, if you become a Mormon and you believe in the Mormon Church and its teachings, as Joseph Smith first taught them, you can become a god. In fact, my good friend, Ed Decker from Seattle, Washington, wrote a book entitled The God Makers. He was an ex-Mormon, left it because he came to know the true Jesus Christ, and he wrote a book called The God Makers. See, that's the promise they have. You know, the Muslims say, if you're a faithful Muslim, when you die, you'll go to heaven, and Allah will give you a certain number of wives there in paradise. Virgin wives. How many is that? I forget how many. It's like 70-something wives. I don't know what you'd do with 70 wives. I have one, and I'm not going to say anything. She's precious as could be. But I only need one, to be honest with you. That's enough. You know, some people would say that's more than enough, but I'm not going to say that. she's precious. But I wouldn't want two of her. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not man enough to have two Wandas. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about that. But in any case, the Mormons say you can have as many wives as God will give you. They used to, of course, teach polygamy. And then in 1862, under President Millard Fillmore, Congress passed a law forbidding polygamy within the continental United States, within the United States, period, 1862. And you know, right after that law was passed, the head of the Mormon Church had a vision from God and said, change your doctrine. Isn't that something? They passed a law in the United States, and God told the head of the Mormon Church, I've decided to change my mind, no more polygamy. Now, the head of the Mormon Church at that time had numerous wives. He kept them. And I suspect a lot of Mormons have numerous wives today. They, you know, still believe in polygamy. But they can't tell anybody about it. Openly, they might be arrested. Some do tell people about it. Some have their own little communities. And all of you have heard about that. Now, recently, the president of the Latter-day Saints, or Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which, by the way, says it has another Bible, another Testament, including the New Testament, which they believe in, but they also have the Book of Mormon. Then they have another book called A Pearl of Great Price. I've read these books. They're such mobbly, jobbly junk. I mean, you really don't want to buy one. But they'll give you a copy free, probably. But why would you want it in your home? It's trash. Makes no sense. The guy must have been on some kind. He must have been smoking something. He ran around with the 19th century versions of Cheech and Chong or something. The guy was absolutely nuts, this Joseph Smith. Recently, Lorenzo Snow, who was once president of the LDS, says, quote, this God power is a power available to us. As we reach perfection, we will receive the experience to power and power to create, to organize, to control nature itself. Wow. I guess we can start tornadoes and stop them and, you know, interrupt hurricanes and rain, and you can control the native elements of nature. You have God powers as a Mormon. Plus all those women. I've always felt sorry for the women, though, Jerry. Now, a man can have multiple wives. He can be God of his own planet, but I guess the woman, she's a goddess, but she's got has all those sister wives. All that trouble. This is definitely a religion for men, you know. But you know what I'm afraid of is when you die, you know, it says in Hebrews, it is appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment. I don't think there's going to be any God making done. I don't think they're going to have a bunch of wives on some star up in the sky. Mm-mm. I think they're going to be in hell because he rejected the true Jesus Christ. That makes them part of Antichrist. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good, folks, for the Mormons. Well, the Mormon scholars have pointed out that several major events in early Mormon history fall on Jewish holidays. And it just so happens that in the Mormon faith, they have a lot of Jewish symbolism. They have the Star of David, the six-pointed star, which is really the star of Moloch, the god of fire and sacrifice. But isn't it interesting? The LDS Church believes that they're the true Israelites, and that Israel will be founded once again, and the capital of it will be Independence, Missouri, in the United States. So if you join the Mormon Church, you'll be an Israelite, and the Israel is going to be the United States, and its capital will be Independence, Missouri. In fact, there's a reorganized Church of Mormon. Some call them Jack Mormons. And they have a big temple they've just built. It's in the form of a Babylonian ziggurat. You know, sort of the Babylonian Tower of Babel. I've been inside it. Very interesting. Think this big old ziggurat going straight up to the stars. Yeah, yeah. I visited it there. Quite interesting. So I told him, I said, so this will be the new Israel, the capital. And the little tour guide there, she was a sweet girl, says, yes, sir. This is our, you know, this is an example of what this great city of Independence, Missouri will look like. Now, the only other claim to fame of independence is that's where the Truman Library was. So I went right from the Babylonian ziggurat that now serves as the head of the reorganized Church of Mormon over to Harry Truman. Now, that's interesting. Harry Truman's, you know, presidential library, which was quite interesting to see both things on the same day, since both Truman and Joseph Smith were both Freemasons. And many of the rituals and various holidays and such of the Mormon Church are based on the same symbolism and rituals as are found in Freemasonry, the Masonic Lodge. Quite fascinating. Joseph Smith was killed by a mob, by the way. And as he died, witnesses there said that he called out, "Is there no balm?" You know, now there's no help for the widow's son. Which is a secret message that Mormons are told if they cry out for that, if there's any Masons in the crowd, they will help them. They will come to their aid. I understand that Charles Manson, you know, the plotter of the murders there in California, Charles Manson and his family, so-called. But Charles Manson, during his trial, he found out that the judge was a Mason. So he thought he would give him these Masonic signals with his hand. Evidently, but Charles Manson studied the various symbols and of Freemasonry and the hand symbols. I really don't know whether he was a Mason or not. He was as crazy as the high-level Masons are, probably. But anyway, unfortunately for Charlie Manson, the judge was not interested in paying any attention. They said it made Charles Manson quite mad, quite angry, that the judge, his Masonic brother, paid no mind to his hand symbols, the hand signs that he was giving out during the trial. You know, I think that's sort of interesting. Okay, let's see what else we can find out about the Book of Mormon. It says here that the Book of Mormon, from what I've studied, in the Book of Mormon itself, Nephi, chapter 29, verse 8, that's interesting. You're quoting it just like the Bible, sort of, which it's certainly not. But in the Book of Mormon itself, it says that Israel, the actual physical nation of Israel, the house of Israel, will be returned to its original faith. The Mormons evidently believe that the Jews will be returned to Israel, and they have, you know, some of them have been, and that they will rebuild their temple, and that they will go in and have the sacrifices of animals and so forth in that temple, and God will bless them, and that they do not need Jesus. But of course, since the Mormons don't have the real Jesus anyway, I don't know, you know, what it matters. Quite interesting. Okay, let's see a little bit more about Mormonism. Now, it seems that they believe that God, the Father, this is a Mormon belief, that Jesus Christ was born when God the Father had sex with Mary. You know, as far as what the Bible says in the New Testament, they just throw that off to the side. They believe that God and Mary had physical sex, and from that, Jesus Christ was born. They also believe that God the Father and Jesus both have, let me quote this, tangible, perfected bodies of flesh and bone. And as gods in whatever planet we end up in with all of our polygamous harem, we also will have bodies of flesh and bone. And that's why we will enjoy sex up in the heavens, in our planet that we're God over. Because everybody, every Mormon will get a different planet to be God of. With all of your wives, of course. And with all these wives, they'll be have bodies of flesh and bone. And you will have flesh and bones, and you can have eternal sex up in heaven with your harem. Sort of an attractive doctrine, isn't it? I think there's a men of a certain mindset that would say, wow, I'm going to be a Mormon. I'm going to be a god. I'm going to have all these women. I'm going to have a fleshly body. Hoop-de-doo, you know. Very strange. Extremely strange. By the way, the Mormons are like the Catholics, too. The president or head of the Mormon church, who reigns, you know, from the great tabernacle there in Salt Lake City, he is infallible. No Mormon head of their church, no Mormon president, has ever said anything that is not 100% correct as to doctrine. He's infallible. He's the Pope. Sort of interesting, isn't it, that they would believe that. By the way, three of the Mormon temples, they have temples and tabernacles, you know, I guess you could call them tabernacles, around the world. And three of them are designed to look like Solomon's temple. So they have three sort of look-alike Solomon temples. I've always thought that was quite interesting. But they, again, I want to emphasize, they believe that the Jews will one day rebuild their own temple in Jerusalem, and they will restore the practice of the rituals of the law of Moses within that temple, which, of course, is totally untrue according to the New Testament of actual Christianity. Okay, so, by the way, they have the Melchizedek priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the patriarchal priesthood, and then sort of the scary ones, which are the Danites. When they want to kill somebody, they can appoint the Danites to do the dirty work. Strange, isn't it? You say, no, come on, the Mormon church would never do anything. Hey, folks, there was a great massacre in Utah, a wagon train, the Francher wagon train. Read about it. I think it was called Mormon Meadows or something like that. But read about that there in Utah. Brigham Young, the head of the Catholic Church. They now have a university named after him, Brigham Young. But he gave the order to kill all the men, women, and children and make it look like Indians did it. This poor old wagon train of people, I think 74 people, I forget just how many, was going along the path there. And the Mormons didn't want people outside their group to come. And they were afraid if too many wagon trains going to California came that way, people may stop and decide to live there. After all, it was a U.S. territory. So Brigham Young and his boys thought, you know, the best way to handle this is to massacre them all and make everybody think it was Indians. And the word will get back east that if you go through Utah on your way to California, the Indians will kill you, rape all the women, take all your belongings. So they appointed a guy who had been, by the way, a cavalryman in the army, an officer, was now a Mormon, and he took out with his men and killed them all, massacred them all. There's, in fact, a memorial to that massacre in Utah now. Imagine, a memorial. Brigham Young, a mass murderer, but head of the Mormon Church. And they honor him with a university today. Wow. And let me say, go one step further. Did you know in our Capitol building, the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., they have erected a statue of Brigham Young? It's in my book, Mysterious Monuments. Get it? You'll see the statue in my book, Mysterious Monuments. Can you imagine a mass murderer? A man who believed in polygamy, who had multiple wives? Really a Satanist Mason? And he has a statue erected in his honor in the U.S. Capitol building? Read all about it in my book, Mysterious Monuments. By the way, the Salt Lake City Temple in Utah is covered with Illuminati and Masonic symbols like the all-seeing eye, the star. It's built with granite, which is a rock which has been used throughout the ages for temples on earth, power centers, esoteric initiations, and so forth. Well, we get to the Jehovah's Witnesses. I know quite a bit about Jehovah's Witnesses. I've had quite a few who visited me. Of course, they don't anymore, but they used to. They'd give me a copy of their watchtower. They'd want me to pay something, a nominal amount. And, you know, I'd like to read them because I like to find out what their modern, you know, what they're saying. So I'd give them a quarter or something for the thing. Tell them back, you know, some coffee if they could. Of course, at Starbucks, it costs $3 and a quarter, but that's another story. But in any case, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would go two by two, found out that, you know, their real Jesus was the angel Michael. And the Jehovah's Witnesses really is a Jewish cult founded by a Freemason named Charles Tace Russell. Now, in my book, Mysterious Monuments, I show the gravesite of Mr. Russell, and guess what? It's an Egyptian pyramid. He put out books and instruction manuals which had the wing, the flying sun wing, symbol of the ancient pharaohs of Egypt. He put that out. And all kinds of things in the Jehovah's Witnesses are occultic, including, I believe, their original name, which was the Watchtower. And that's the reason for their magazine. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, this Jewish cult, has had so many, they claim they're the only true church. At first, they said only 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses would go to heaven. But after the church grew and it had about 800,000 members, they said, you know, people are going to get disappointed that they may not be one of the 144. We better boost the number. So they boosted the number that could get to heaven. A lot of interesting things about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Their headquarters is in Brooklyn, New York, which is the same area that's very heavily Jewish, where all the Orthodox Jews are, including the cultic group called the Lubavitchers. A lot of people say there are connections between the Jehovah's Witnesses leadership in Brooklyn, New York, and the Lubavitchers, but I have not discovered that. By the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses only have one holy day. What do you think that might be? Well, let me tell you real quick. The death of Jesus. Not the resurrection of Jesus. The only holy day of the Jehovah's Witnesses is the death of Jesus. I think that tells you a lot. They don't believe in blood transfusions. I think that's because they believe in the holy blood and all this stuff. They worship Jehovah and not Jesus. And they say Jesus is a God, not the God. And of course, they refuse to serve in the military of any country and refuse to salute the flag. The death of Jesus, their only holy day of Jehovah's Witnesses, is observed the same day as the original Jewish Passover celebration. It's another Jewish cult. Wish I had more time. I'd tell you about the Church of Wicca that was founded by a witch who calls herself Miriam Starhawk, but her real name is Miriam Simos. She's a Jew. It just goes on and on. The Jews founded all these false religions, cults, secret societies. And Satan sponsored them in their darkened hearts. May God forgive them. This is Tex Mars inviting you to find out about the real God and the real Christ and Messiah. His name is Jesus, the name above all names, it says in Philippians, and you can discover him by reading the great book called the Holy Bible. I'm Tex Mars. My invitation to you is to join us each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.